This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back for 1 week only. Buy one and get one of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm free. Order at EdenPureDeals.com, code word Howie BOGO.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
So, here's the thing. Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Who's driving the bus?
What bus?
The clock is ticking loudly. We are witnessing around our country and around the world the effects of extreme climate.
We all just need to keep calm.
That's it! Dude, we're all gonna die!
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
And, you know,
Does he have any concerns about Fetterman?
Not at all.
Love, step, and protect it.
He has have to do with the speech and hearing.
Mongo only pawn in game of life.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. As you know, there's a very competitive Senate race going on in the state of New Hampshire, the Granite State. Maggie Hassan was elected by fewer than 1,000 votes in 2016 after Kelly Ayotte threw Donald Trump under the bus at the last moment. And now Don Bolduc, the retired Brigadier General, is within striking distance of Maggie Hassan. I'm reading a headline from Breitbart. Maggie Hassan warns of defeat after losing momentum to Republican General Bolduc. This was on Monday in Derry, New Hampshire. Joining us now on the line to discuss the campaign is General Bolduc. Thanks for being with us, General. How's the campaign going?
Well, sir, it's great to be with you. My best to your listeners. The campaign is excellent. We are running a classic campaign that is resonating everywhere we go. Very large crowds, independents, Democrats, Republicans, all showing up to have a discussion with Don Bolduc. And I mean, it's just unbelievable the momentum that we feel now, and you can sense it. And I've been in this position before in an election. And so I kind of know momentum when I see it. And he is just focusing on the wrong things. We're focusing on all the right things, and that's the livelihood and future of our children and grandchildren, and pointing out how she's damaged that by the numbers with economic policies, energy policies that have caused high inflation, out-of-control spending, and making our country an unsafe place to live in. It's going well, sir.
But it's not going well for the people of New Hampshire with the economy. And I'm so glad you're talking about energy prices and LNG, the fact that all of our LNG is being shipped overseas because of this crazy proxy war that Biden and Maggie Hassan are supporting in Ukraine. I mean, do people in New Hampshire get why exactly their electric bills, their fuel oil bills are going out of sight right now?
Well, you know, I was just in a debate with her today at NHPR, and she doesn't get it, obviously. She thinks that, you know, that there's no connection and that everything that the Biden administration has done with the war on Ukraine has made sense. And unfortunately, that is not the case. And so I pointed that out. I pointed out, listen, we're supposed to get 18 billion cubic feet of natural gas here. We're only getting two. We're shipping most of it overseas. We're going to have blackouts in January. People are already choosing between heating and eating. It's only going to get worse in December when the electric prices double, and food prices continue to soar. And you're okay. You're okay with everything. Well, I guess the person who owns four homes is a multimillionaire and doesn't share in the same hardships as other Granite Staters, hey, I guess it's okay for you, but it isn't for Granite Staters, and that's a sad thing.
Well, you know better than I what her answer is. Yes, but abortion. Yes, but January 6th. That's all she can talk about. Mainly abortion, though, rather than January 6th.
Well, yeah. Well, absolutely. And, you know, I said it today. You know, I mean, here's the deal. You know, I'm not going to change New Hampshire's abortion law. It's a state issue now, and that's where it belongs. I support Social Security and Medicare, which she lies about. But what do you expect from Washington politicians? She voted for inflation. I'm going to fight it. She raises taxes. I won't. And she rubber stamps whatever Washington wants, and I never will. So, you know, I spent my life fighting for this country, and that's what I'm going to do in Washington, D.C., something she's not doing.
What's your web address if people want to get involved, donate, or, you know, maybe even come up and help you out from all of the neighboring states that we're broadcasting on right now? Where can they go to find out what you're up to?
Yes, sir. Please go to donbaldick.com, donbaldick.com, BOLDUC.com. Any help you can give is greatly appreciated. I realize these are tough economic times. If you can give some treasure, fine, some talent, fine, some time, fine. All of that works for us as we move in to the last 12 days of this campaign.
Now, I was very disappointed to read that Mitch McConnell had his super PAC pull out millions of dollars out of New Hampshire that was supposedly going to be used for your ads against Maggie Hassan. But then I read that Senator Rick Scott from Florida, who runs the overall Republican Senate campaign committee, that he had committed to give you some money. Are you going to be okay? And is the money from the national committee going to make up for losing the McConnell money?
Yes, sir. You know, I'm very thankful to Rick Scott and the NRSC, as well as Ronna McDaniel from the RNC, for coming in quickly. In helping us, you know, we had a little bit of a hiccup, but now we're on track. And I got to tell you, the response from Americans across the country and in the Granite State has been unbelievable. I mean, so we are very, very grateful that people see that Senator Hassan is vulnerable, that, you know, we need to answer with some money, her $30 million that she spent in lies and attack ads, and then trying to justify the damage that she's done to Granite Staters and Americans. But there, you know, people have rallied, and I'm so humbled and appreciative of that.
These ads, she's kind of like a political chameleon, isn't she? All summer long, she was basically a Republican, or that's what you would think if you just landed on Earth from Mars. Now she's become a Democrat again. It's really amazing, isn't it? She'll say anything she has to, anything that she thinks will advance her chances to get another 6-year term.
Yeah, you know, exactly, and she did it again today. She talked in circles. She talked in complicated career politicians speak, patting herself on the back, and I immediately pointed out, you know, recent votes, you know, to refuse to expand, you know, petroleum, you know, increases in our petroleum and natural gas. She voted, you know, to remove Title 42. She voted to against removing the 87,000 IRS agents. She voted against sending that $80 billion to fund that to the CBP. I mean, just a series of really, really bad votes she did in August that she doesn't, you know, she doesn't account for. But I'm certainly, you know, telling Granite Staters and everybody that you can't trust her. She will say one thing and she will do another, and then she'll stand in front of you and pat herself on the back for stuff that, you know, is very deceptive what she does. But, you know, I'm there to kind of bring in the reality. And I do it in a very, you know, very direct way, you know, people understand it.
When was the last time she voted against Schumer and Biden? Or can you even remember that far back?
Well, I tell you, you know, her voting record is 96% of the time. This rally of votes in in August, there was about 10 bills that were submitted by Republicans that would have, you know, one of them was critical. It was a bill to stop any additional unnecessary spending until we got inflation under control. She voted no to that bill. And there was a series of about 10 bills that would have helped secure the border, helped the opioid crisis, reinforced our CBP, reinforced our law enforcement officers here, you know, across the country, would have increased our oil production, natural gas production. It would have done all kinds of good things for the economy, and she voted no.
And, you know, you've had your ups and downs with Governor Sununu, but now you guys are working together to get everybody across the finish line in New Hampshire. Is that right?
We certainly are. Governor Sununu and I are working together to push, you know, Republicans at the state and federal level on to victory. That's the Democrats' worst nightmare, is the Republican Party united and coming together. And we have achieved that. And that is a positive strength.
All right, General, give us your web address one more time. If you know, and again, we got lots of people listening across the country and watching across the country, but also people that are in the New England area, they could get over there and help you out and hold signs or knock on doors or do something like that, even if they don't have a lot of money to give. Where can people go to find out what your campaign is up to and what you need?
So go to DonBaldick.com, DonBaldick.com, and please go there and donate.
Okay, Don Baldick, we wish you the best, and we'll talk to you again next week if we can, and keep going. We need you in the U.S. Senate rather than Maggie and with her four houses and her chameleon-like political response. You know, just anyone who's been watching TV in New England knows what she's capable of. She's capable of saying anything, no doubt about it. 844-500-4242. The economy has been unpredictable, and we all feel it, as we were just talking about with General Baldick. But now is not the time to forget our fallen heroes. Despite what is happening around us, we still have so many reasons to be a grateful nation. And in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and freedoms. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 17th. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and have the opportunity to teach younger generations the value of their freedoms. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a fresh, handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The circular wreath made with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to ceremonies at over 3,500 participating locations across the country and overseas. Please sponsor a veteran's wreath today and show your appreciation for our veterans. Go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. Please donate now. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. It was just terrible what Mitch McConnell did to Don Baldick. And to everybody, I think. You know, I know that's his PAC, his political action committee, but, you know, and I know he gets most of the money in it from lobbyists, but I think they're deep swamp creatures and all that, but I don't think the people who give the money to the lobbyists really think it's a wise thing to be siphoning money away from a winnable Senate campaign like Don Baldick's or any of them, Blake Masters in Arizona, any of them, and giving it to Lisa Murkowski, a rhino's rhino, so that she can defeat a real Republican. up there in Alaska. It's insane, and I'm so happy that Rick Scott stepped into the breach and gave him. I don't know if it made up for it. I heard there was 5 million that was taken out of New Hampshire by McConnell, and Rick Scott with his Senate committee gave him $1 million. But at least it makes up for something. Never going to outspend Hassan. I mean, they got all the, you know, they say Republicans are the big money party. Maggie Hassan has spent $30 million in New Hampshire. I mean, again, most of the money went to the Boston media market, but I mean, she's got so much money that she can be spending tens of millions of dollars on ads that 90% of the people who see them can't vote in New Hampshire. Plus, she's buying ads in Maine and in Vermont as well. Not to mention, of course, Channel 9 in New Hampshire. But that's the Democrats are just awash in money, everywhere. Val Demings has outspent Marco Rubio here in Florida, which is now a solid red state. She spent $20 million more than Marco Rubio. Just because the Dems have all the money. 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Rizzo Insurance. When was the last time you had someone audit your insurance to see if you're getting the most coverage for your money? Contact Dan or Paul Rizzo at rizzoinsurance.com. They have helped me and my staff, and they can help you save money too. Get the Rizzo Insurance audit at no charge, no obligation. RizzoInsurance.com. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should President Trump invite Governor DeSantis to his November 6th rally in Florida for Senator Marco Rubio?
Yes, he should.
90% of the audience now says yes.
90%. Okay. This is we're going to talk more about this as we go through the rest of the day. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Howie, how you doing? It's been a long time.
Good.
So, back in the day of Burisma and Hunter Biden, they hired a firm, some law firm in Washington, to get senators to write letters to Obama asking for more money for exploration of energy in the Ukraine. Guess who was one of those senators? Yes, it is.
Maggie
Hassan. Maggie's involved with the Burisma whole thing. Yep.
She's a swamp creature. I mean, there's no question about it. They go down there and they don't just dive into the swamp. Pretty soon they're doing the backstroke, the breaststroke, the butterfly. They can't imagine ever leaving there. You know, you read the obituaries for senators who die, and, you know, so-and-so was elected from Kansas in 1974 and served for 20 years, and he died in Alexandria, Virginia, where he'd been practicing law or working as a lobbyist. They never leave. They never leave Washington. It's just, it's such a problem. It's become the imperial city, and we have to clear it out. And if no matter who's elected on the Republican side next, whether it's Trump or DeSantis, they have to clear it out. Thanks for the call, Bill. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello, Howie.
Hi.
Got a question for you.
Yes.
On the Fetterman interview that he had with the lady from NBC, they had a monitor up so he could read the questions, correct?
Correct, yes.
And then on the debate with Dr. Oz, there was also a monitor for him to be able to read so he
yes.
could understand the questions.
Yeah, behind the moderators.
Correct. If by chance this guy happens to get in, I'm surprised no Republicans have brought this up. Is he going to have an aide walk around with him with a laptop? That if people have to ask him questions, they got to open it up so he can read a screen. How is this guy going to communicate? Well,
they can't say they can't. That's a good question, Mike. But they can't say that because then they would be accused of ableism. That's the newest sin, a mortal sin by Republicans, an ableism. You know, there's a great piece in Breitbart today saying the latest media hoax. Fetterman is fine. That's really a good point. It was a media hoax.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Lead story in the New York Post right now. Santa Fe detectives complete investigation into Alec Baldwin Rust shooting. Criminal charges may be imminent. Today, District Attorney Mary Carmack Altweis received the Santa Fe County Sheriff's investigative report on the Rust movie set incident, said a spokesman for the local district attorney. The DA and her team of investigators and prosecutors will now begin a thorough review of the information and evidence to make a thoughtful, timely decision about whether to bring charges. 844-500-4242. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Hey, how you going, Howie Carr? Listen, I want to know Bob Menendez, right?
I knew Menendez, you were going to ask me about Bob Menendez. Mr. Garcia, I just hope this doesn't affect the campaign of his very, very qualified son to be the next congressman from your district in North Jersey.
Newark, yes. I want to ask you a question. Why the FBI have Bob Menendez? Maybe he find out when he ransack Trump paper, FBI, Trump having secret.
This is a conspiracy theory I haven't heard. You think they got some dirt on Bob Menendez down at Mar-a-Lago?
Yes.
You know what I loved about that story when it broke yesterday, Mr. Garcia, is when they said we don't know the exact nature of the charges against Menendez, but they're pretty much the same kind of charges as before, only with a different group of players.
Oh, wow. But I believe he finds something, and Trump say, hey, listen, you find Bob Menendez paper I was hiding, you have to do the work.
Well, you know, I was surprised. I didn't know this until yesterday, but the ophthalmologist that supposedly was paying him off and in all these different ways with campaign contributions, trips to Paris, trips to the Dominican, et cetera, he was pardoned. He was convicted of massive Medicare fraud and overbilling, fraud charges, et cetera. And he was pardoned by Donald Trump on his way out the door. I did not know that. Mr. Garcia, do you think he wants that Bob Menendez wants his son, who, by the way, is a UNC graduate like me, long after me, do you think he wants him to succeed him in the U.S. Senate?
Yes, I think so. He's going to be another corrupt Bob Menendez corrupt. Yeah, I don't like him, and I'm going to vote Republican, but we don't have good Republican.
I know. I saw the guy that's running against him. I read a story about him today. He doesn't even have a website, Mr. Garcia. How can you run for anything?
Yeah, I don't even have no website. Nothing.
Yeah, I know. All right, Mr. Garcia, get out there and make sure that not only you vote Republican, but Dutch votes Republican as well. I'm sure he's probably already gotten his mail-in ballot or his absentee ballot. Thanks for the call, Mr. Garcia. Fred, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, Howie, you talk about Maggie Hassan's ads. The first ad she ran, she was touting two things, that she was pushing Biden to suspend the federal gas tax.
I remember that ad, yeah.
And that she was pushing Biden to tap the strategic reserves. So after 6 years in the Senate, she leads with one thing she failed to do and another thing that's reckless. I mean, what has she accomplished in 6 years?
Yeah. I know I read a story about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and they're saying, you know, it's going to take years to refill that, if they can ever refill it. And remember, the Democrats wouldn't let Trump top it off when it was going to cost $3 billion. Now it's going to cost just an untold amount of money, you know, because you're going to need a lot more than Trump was planning to buy, and the price now is four times eventually what it was then. I mean, you're right. This was the height of irresponsibility to drain the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. I mean, Obama or Clinton in their most irresponsible days never even thought of doing this.
I mean, it's not there for political purposes, but you know, I would just want to tell the voters of New Hampshire that you might find Milquetoast Maggie to be pretty inoffensive as an individual, but a vote for her, it's an endorsement of every failure of Biden Harris. It's an endorsement of the squad. I mean,
As Bolduc was just saying, I mean, it's a vote for those brownouts or blackouts that are coming in January. It's a vote for those doubled electric bills that are coming in December. It's a vote for the rationing of home heating oil, which is on the verge of beginning in New Hampshire, and it's already going on in places like Connecticut. I mean, it's insanity. None of this had to happen. This is all a domestic disaster. And it's authored by Biden and the Democrats, and she's part of the problem. You know, I mentioned earlier in the day, if you're not on the bus, you're off the bus. There's another saying from the 60s and the 70s. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And Maggie Hassan is not part of the solution. There's no doubt about that. Thanks for the call, Fred. Lee, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, Hollywood Garfield Hassan with her commercials and that sly cat-like smile. She's driving me nuts. But I want to remind New Hampshire that she won because the students voted, the out-of-state students. So everybody
right.
in New Hampshire has to get up and run to the polls and vote, or those kids are going to steal it again with their ferried, given bus rides to the polls, Howie. I see it all the time. And
I understand. I understand. You know, Trump keeps thinking that they're busing people in from Massachusetts. And, you know, I don't think that's the problem. I think you're right. The problem is those college towns, Durham, Hanover, Plymouth, and probably Portsmouth too. These same day student registrations, and she won by fewer than 1,000 votes. And if you subtract those, I guess the four big college towns in New Hampshire, Kelly Ayotte is still the senator. And, you know, I know they tried to, tighten up the same-day voter registration. And, you know, I asked Sununu once when he was on the show, I said, why didn't you hold out for stronger laws to restrict these college kid hipsters from out-of-state college kid hipsters from voting? And he said, I wanted to get a law that would survive a challenge in the courts. Because, you know, of course, the ACLU is going to claim voter suppression. What they really mean is voter fraud suppression. And he did the best he could. But we'll see, you know, in 12 days whether it was good enough to stop the out-of-state students from stealing another election in the Granite State. 844-500-4242. Tim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Howie.
Hi.
Well, yeah, the reason the media and the journalism journalists are all in the pot of the Dems, they're paid to be there 10-1. So why would you bite the hand that feeds you?
Well, I you're right that they're getting a lot more money from Democrats than Republicans. But I think it's if you've ever been in a newsroom, Tim, that's just the way they go. You know, that's the way 99% of journalists go. And they come out of the journalism schools. They come out of mainly all the liberal arts institutions, and they've been brainwashed. And it takes a lot of character to resist 4 years of brainwashing. And they don't have any sense either, you know? I mean, you know, I came out of journalism school way back when, kind of a liberal. But I began to see that I was working hard, working 50, 60 hours a week, and the government agencies that I had to cover, they weren't doing anything. I mean, there was no telecommuting, but there was just a form of telecommuting. You know, I would go to, I would like visit one of the colleges I was covering on a Thursday afternoon. You know what would be, like right now, you know what would be going on? Sports Illustrated was delivered on Thursday afternoons. Everybody, all the guys, be reading the Sports Illustrated. That's all. then, you know, then I, you know, move back to Massachusetts, and I go to the state office buildings to check stuff out, like at the comptroller's office before they were computerized, and I'd have to check through all the payrolls. Me and another guy would go over like once a month and just check everything, and everybody would be the only ones working in the office. Everybody else would be saying, "Did you see Dynasty last night? What a great show that is. What about her hair? It's up like this." That's when I learned the truth of the old joke. Why do state office workers not look out of the windows in the morning? Because they want to have something to do in the afternoon. And you know, I just said, you know, they can do whatever they want, but I'm paying for this. And I don't want to pay for it anymore. And I can't believe that, you know, the young journalists today don't come to the same conclusion. But then I realize they don't want any problems. They don't want to offend anybody. You can't even get them to ask a tough question of a politician. They're afraid. It's pitiful. Not all of them, just 99% of them. That's all. 844-500-4242. The stock markets have leveled off a bit. They may even go up briefly in anticipation of a red wave in 12 days when we will at least have a temporary return to political sanity, maybe. But don't be lulled into complacency. Brandon remains the president. This may just be the calm before the next storm in the equities. Once the election is over, gas and fuel prices will certainly go through the roof again. This is why you should still be taking a look at precious metals, or start taking a look at precious metals. Historically, in times of crisis like the one we're in right now, precious metals are one of the best ways to protect your assets. Monetary gold makes the process easy. What we are seeing is a once-in-every-generation opportunity. Some analysts predict gold going as high as $5,000 per ounce. A network analyst predicts $15,000 in 3 years. Get Monetary Gold's complimentary protection guide if you want to protect your savings from greedy socialists like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and yes, Maggie Hassan. Monetary Gold is rated a top five with the Better Business Bureau for 22 years running, as well as with Consumer Affairs and Retirement Living. My listeners who open a qualified account now will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To find out more, call 1-800-267-6500. That's 1-800-267-6500. 1-800-267-6500, or go to monetarygold.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Join in on the conversation. Call Howie at 844-500-4242. Just don't make us use the dump button.
Don't you cuss on this here radio. I apologize to all the friendly folk who are listening.
The Howie Carr Show will be right back.
Forget the myths the media has created about the White House. The truth is, these are not very bright guys.
The Howie Carr Show is back.
Brandon is speaking now. He's talking about how he gave up a spot on the starting job on the University of Delaware football team so that he could visit his wife every weekend. I thought he went to Delaware State.
These are facts. Check them out.
He's talking about living in some walk-up or flat in Syracuse when he was going to law school there, like he was, you know, really a hard scrabble guy. A lot of people his age were living in foxholes in Da Nang at the time. I think they would have been glad to trade a cold water flat in Syracuse for what they were up to. 844-500-4242. Mark Zuckerberg, nobody knows the troubles he's seen. A year ago, he was worth $142 billion. Then Facebook changed its name to Meta, and the world crashed around his ears. Now he's down to a mere $38 billion. He's lost $11 billion just this week. That's my feel-good story of the day for you. 844 I got a few feel-good stories every day. I like to throw them out. By the way, CNN, the Chris Licht said they're gonna be more layoffs at CNN. I don't see what they can be angry about. They voted for Brandon, and Brandon is fundamentally transforming America. And all the people at CNN that supported him and cheerled for him and waved the pom-poms for all the Democrats for all these years, now they're going to the unemployment line. They got what they wish for. Be careful. Answered prayers. Dave, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Howie, he isn't speaking. He's babbling, as usual. But anyway, no, the other call I was talking about the student vote. Yeah, no, I've called it in years past. I'm like, well, I remember the last presidential election at SNU, which means they're doing it everywhere. They were actually having workshops, or I guess you call them woke shops, teaching the students how to vote in New Hampshire and giving them class credit for this because it's informative election education.
I know they prosecuted a few.
I know,
Dave, they prosecuted a few people for voting in two states or claiming they were in-state residents but then not transferring over their driver's licenses, which I guess you have 6 months to do under New Hampshire state law. But it seems like they just prosecuted a few old people from Massachusetts, from just over the line. I wanted to see them, some rich pablum puker from Dartmouth. You know, they ought to throw him in jail for 6 months. And that would discourage this more than somewhat, I think, Dave.
Oh, yeah, you got it right, man, because the thing is, it's like a party for them. It's like, yee-haw, we get free class credits, we get a bus ride, and it's a big party. And they laugh all the way. And the thing is that they do it, they just vote here because they know their vote isn't needed where they came from. So they're not breaking the law legally. Right?
Well, some of them are because some of them are voting in two places, as we've seen. But it's just I saw them. I used to cover the New Hampshire primaries. I haven't done that lately, but would be up there, and you'd see all these students coming in to work in the Democrat primaries, and they'd be for all the woke things, and you could tell they were all on trust funds, and they were wearing nice clothes, and they had suntans from their spring break visits to the Caribbean. And they were promoting all this stuff like affirmative action. They're all legacies. They all got their spots in graduate school, law school, because daddy gave a $10 million for a new building or something. And we have to give more slots to the underprivileged. What about underprivileged people like me? Or people that I grew up with. We're underprivileged too. We don't have trust funds. Our daddies didn't give $10 million, but they we get thrown under the bus. Just used to bug the hell out of me. I don't care much for the Ivy Leaguers, obviously. Joey, you're next with Howie Carr. Quickly, Joey.
Hey, Howie, love the show. Thank you very much for taking my call. So a couple questions maybe you could help me with. Can we as a society have, a ballot question that just says, do you think we should have mail-in voting? It's either yes or no. And then my second question is, can we also as a society vote for, term limits? How does that work?
Well, I'm with you on mail-in ballots, but I don't think you could have a national referendum. You'd have to do it state by state. And, the Republicans are trying to tighten up voting regulations. I mean, it's pretty tight down here in Florida, I must say. As for term limits, Joey, don't you think that it seems like the only people who go along with term limits are Republicans, like Gordon Humphrey and a senator from New Hampshire who was a great guy? But, people you want to get rid of, like Michael Bloomberg in New York or Marty Meehan, the congressman from Lowell, Massachusetts, he took a term limit vow and then broke it immediately. Elections can be term limits. I'm Howie Carr.